Los Angeles chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women, has organized a boycott of Bret Easton Ellis' new novel, American Psycho, and all books by his publisher, with the exception of their books by feminist writers. Earlier today, I called Tammy Bruce, the head of the chapter, and asked her why she organized the boycott.
This is a matter of life and death. Violence against women in this country is at epidemic proportions. We are living in a culture which glorifies violence against women. We've got to begin to take a stand and say, not, don't you dare publish this, but if you publish this, you will face the consequences of a people that are tired of being faced with this kind of gratuitous glorification of violence against women. It is a very, very big difference than simply being offended by something. It's a big difference than, say, the minority saying, we don't like that when everyone else does like it. The bottom line is, really, honestly, no one wants this crap. It's not about religious or political issues at all. It's about the difference between common sense and responsible decision-making and the fact that women die torturous deaths in this country every day because our culture invites it and encourages it.
I think when somebody objects to the content of a book or a movie, what's often in question is whether that book or movie is advocating a certain act. Like, does American Psycho advocate violence against women, or is it trying to be a comment about a society mm-hmm. in which there are acts of violence mm-hmm. against women? Mm-hmm. Is it perpetrating misogyny, or is it trying to get into the mind mm-hmm. of a misogynist?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. It's a very distinct difference, because we have both in this culture. As an example, we like Silence of the Lambs. The film presents a very empowering view of women, even though it presents a very horrific experience that women have. American Psycho, in reading the original manuscript and now what has been published, exists to exploit. The question is, does it exploit or does it educate? It exploits. To say that it was written as social commentary is pathetic. It is written to exploit the fear and death women live with every day. The attempts to justify this are about as pathetic as the material itself.
Well, don't you think that's something that intelligent people could disagree about, as there's been some disagreement among literary critics as to the relative worth of this?
Okay, there's been little disagreement. There has literally been, if you have seen some of the background and some of the reviews, ranging from when it was at Simon & Schuster to currently, there has been tremendously little disagreement about it's not like Hemingway had a bad day here. If this is what literature has come down to, then there is a very serious problem, and we want to tell Sunny Maida that this is not what literature has come down to, and this is not what we're willing to accept.
You know, I think it's fair to say that what some critics are saying about the book is that, you know, Bret Easton Ellis has some ambitions, but those ambitions are confused, and that his writing isn't good enough to support the ambitions of the novels. But, you know, the ambitions of the novel, you know, that the book may be a literary failure, but that's not a reason to boycott. And, I mean, I've read that by several critics. So I don't think it's fair to say that the critics are all unanimously condemning the book in the way that you're condemning it.
I don't think that there was ever an attempt to have this be a social commentary. There was never an attempt to have this be some grandiose expose of the desensitization of Americans toward violence. This was written plain and simply to attack women. It was written in a pornographic, sadistic, misogynistic sense without debate. This was never with the attempt to be some kind of major statement, and then it disintegrated into pornography. I think not. There was never an attempt. The attempt is clear, which was to be sensationalistic misogyny in an attempt to revive a failing career of a young man who is not a good writer, who experienced a fluke, and now was reaching for the extremes in order to get a little bit more notoriety, when in fact what this book has done is shown a light into Knopf. Bret Easton Ellis can write this crap until he chokes on his own vomit. The problem is the Sunny Maidas and Amanda Urbans of the world who peddle it and decide to push it through into the fabric of our culture and make cultural decisions. But we are not relegated only to positive responses. We will say no, and we will say it loudly.
On the message on the answering machine for mm-hmm. the boycott hotline, mm-hmm. you give the phone numbers and fax numbers for the main parties who mm-hmm. who were responsible for publishing the book. And one of the people who you tell listeners to fax and phone is Bret Easton Ellis' agent, Amanda Urban, who is known by the nickname of Binky. And you say, clearly she's compromised all her principles as a woman in her effort to make a fast buck. And so you're suggesting implementing a Binky watch to see if there's a pattern
here.
We're
not suggesting it. We have implemented it.
But, you know, it makes it sound like you're the politically correct thought police. You know,
no,
that you're getting people to...
We as much as Mr. Ellis and Ms. Urban have every intention of expressing our point of view and proceeding in a fashion which seems relevant to what we need to achieve. It is not unusual for women who have achieved success in a male-dominated field, which is most of them, who have achieved success through playing by the boys' rules, to find that misogyny pays, to find that misogyny makes one successful. And we want to make sure that Amanda, Binky, actually she prefers to be called Binky, we want to make sure she knows she does not work in a vacuum, that she is making decisions that affect people's lives and affect their deaths, as does Mr. Maida.
Tammy Bruce, thank you very much for talking with us.
You got it.
Tammy Bruce is the head of the Los Angeles chapter of the National Organization for Women.